Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
And boys and girls, welcome to Law Crimes. Hello.
Yay. Hello, everyone.
Yay. Hello.
How are we all doing today?
We have a small announcement, though. Andy, you're looking pretty fine in that outfit. What is it you got there?
What, this old thing? Just got some cool Law Crimes merchandise. Oh, it's actually getting a bit cold. I'm gonna have to, it's a bit nippy. It's coming up to winter.
Live Andy outfit change. Never before seen.
Clean. Smells
Lose
nice.
Lose the shorts.
For the for all your listeners out there, we have merchandise officially. We actually did it. Almost 2 years in, it took us, but we finally did it.
It's me.
Pretty epic.
There we go. Andy is Lorca. No, I'm not.
I'm not Lorca.
How grow a saddle to cover that? I don't even know what that means.
Zinnin with two, I don't know what currency. Is that euros?
That's yes.
Euros. Yes.
Bust out the dab.
Oh, my God. Well, as an introduction, boys, today, there was a whole host of comments by our absolute Lord boy fan call, which we will read at some point. We seem to put a lot of effort into that.
Well, they mean Document USA paid $5 to get us to read them.
We will get to that a little bit in, so we'll keep that in mind. Today, guys, is Death Company. Blood Angels, a little special topic. As of time we're recording now, Blood Angels are releasing, and they have a codex, shiny new codex coming, a few new models, and especially some new Death Company Marines. First, I don't want thoughts particularly on the maybe the Death Company jump pack sort of launch box. Maybe Eli doesn't like it too much because it's all Primaris.
Well, Death Company actually.
I kind of forgot this box was coming out. I'm gonna level with you.
Me too. But they are cool models though. To be fair, the new Lamartis is really sick. So is the Astoreth. It's because it's the same model as.
It comes with a good variety of stuff. I mean, 10 intercessors, assault intercessors, a dreadnought, named characters, Lamartis. There we go. Boy, that you just said them and they immediately left my brain. They look good. It's good stuff.
It's solid. I think, for particularly people listening today, Death Company, maybe they've had some cooler, more unique stuff in the past, but I think they look pretty clean, especially the HQ ones. The Brutalis Dreadnought one seems about right. That thing, I would maybe do a little bit more ornamentation on that, but again, that's something people can do in their own time. But today's lore topic is Death Company itself. The obviously, guys are good.
Can you still run the flying librarian dreadnought? Is that still an option?
I don't think it's the same anymore. But I think the librarian dreadnought still exists.
I don't think it does anymore. The old one.
Not since the box has turned into the chonky. Yeah, no more boxes. Boxes aren't allowed.
You could deep strike Marines with it. Just any group who are near it. Oh, man. Blood Angels, they've been eating good, though. A lot of their models are pretty damn good. Some of the... RIP Sanguinary Guard wings, though, at the time. You never know. We're going to crack straight on into it, boys. If there's any donations and all that stuff, we will get to them in a little bit. But we're going to start off with the Blood Angels Death Company itself. It doesn't really need to be said, but for the uninitiated, they are the Night Legion Blood Angels, pretty much the Sons of Sanguinius, I would say prettier than Fulgrim. I don't know if Eli is going to be okay with that.
Wrong.
Yeah, he's not happy. As they describe it in the books, though, Sanguinius is just naturally beautiful, whereas like Fulgrim is a crafted
other way around.
No, okay.
Fulgrim's naturally beautiful. Sanguinius is a supernatural.
I was saying, there's also people want to buy any of the merchandise for Law Crimes, want to be a law criminal yourself. We do have links on the channel, please. So go and check that out. We'll hopefully all be kitted up soon. So for the Death Company, Primarch Sanguinius, beloved, our glorious boy. If anyone is wondering, on screen we have some Space Marine 2. There's at time, hopefully Blood Angels maybe get a thing for Space Marine 2. But at time,
it's going to be a while. I know Dark Angel's coming up, and then there's unconfirmed. But we know they're going to get something. They have to, even though it's just going to be like, do you want a different shade of red? Cool.
But essentially, today is more about the basically. This is okay. All of Warhammer is like daddy issues, like the game. That's why we all relate so hard. But this one is particularly bad when it comes to what forms the Death Company and kind of how it started. Going back to its like original origins, it sort of starts around things called like the Red Thirst, the Black Rage, and unfortunately the death of their Primarch. So during the Horus Heresy, that's a topic we're going to get to like part by part eventually. Poor Colin will be dragged feet for the entire Horus Heresy.
He's going to be screaming. Checking out for like months at a time, just like, oh, another episode on
Horus Heresy. Colin, are you more excited about like the start of the Horus Heresy thing or the Alpha Legion fully dedicated like
video? Boy, man, I
that's some good stuff.
Look, you can just kill me now if you want.
Con does not like Alpha Legion. So during the Horus Heresy, it will be, well, during the Great Crusade is more accurate, Sanguinius would discover perhaps one of the first flaws that would somewhat put the Blood Angels in a bit of
Tarnishes their name a little bit.
Yeah. So, Colin, what's the actual first flaw? I'll leave it at that. What's the first flaw that they came across?
The first flaw is the Red Thirst, which is of the flaws is the one that's like, this is a gene seed flaw. The other one, you know, we'll get to is it's a gene seed flaw, but it's also kind of magic. You know, there was some extenuating circumstances that led to this one. The Red Thirst is just, you're a Blood Angel. Well, from the start, this is just part of like the DNA. This is just a problem. So they're similar to each other, but how it works is basically sometimes, you know, Space Marines tend to be in pretty big battles, right? And, you know, the heat of combat, you know, your adrenaline's going, you know, you could be angry, you know, filled with, you know, just battle lust, what have you.
A Space Marine angry?
You're on a bridge in PUBG. And...
I had a Red Thirst moment in PUBG. Not like that. We'll get to that when I'm done explaining what this is. But so, yeah, you know, things get a little bit rough, and Blood Angels already, as a side effect of their gene seed, they're kind of pale. Their teeth are a little bit elongated, and, you know, they got a bit of a thing for blood. You know, they're a fan.
What do they mean by this?
It could be anything. Sometimes as the battle's going, they get a really big need for blood. They get real hungry for it. So they go from arguably the most elegant, you know, regal of the legions. You know, Eli, feel free to simp for the Emperor's children now, as you will.
Wrong.
I said one of. They're up there.
Yeah, they are up there. This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
From angry space vampire. Let's stop pretending that this.
let's not lie to ourselves.
They go berserk, and they just.
The phrase "munch a civilian" in like close quarters.
Yeah. And like
it's stuck along a civilian.
Like that thirst for blood is exasperated. Sometimes it's outright. They just start eating people. It's not very pleasant to be around or witness. Initially, it was a very rare thing, though. Thankfully, you know, it was a. And a lot of the times with the scale of the Great Crusade, right, they're fighting humongous battles. One guy starts going a little bit too nuts. Who's going to notice? Sanguinius, don't they? They would sometimes take, you know, battle brother Vlad behind the shed. And Sanguinius himself.
Where?
What? They took him. They take him
from behind. What?
They take him. They take him out behind the shed.
Oh, okay. You take him from behind. I was like,
no, they don't take him from behind.
It's like that scene in Babe, not that scene in Babes, you know?
Yeah. Where, you know, him or Ascalon, you know, the Sanguinier Guard commander, like, well, you were a good battle brother, and we will remember you forever, but it is time for the forever nap to hide the affliction. And he gets Lenny.
Because, yeah, what's the book? Of Mice of Men. Of Mice of Men.
Oh, I was talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 for a second. Lenny!
Because you know, Sanguinius is aware that two of his brothers came down with a bad case of being written out of history, and he didn't really want to tempt that with him and his sons. Best case scenario, that's just not going to look good. Worst case scenario, the Russ is getting involved.
There was
you hide that.
Yeah. As Colin mentioned, there was a slight incident where one of his brothers, Horace, did in fact peek around the corner.
He was like, what's going on back there? Uh-oh.
And Sanguinius is like, oh no. I've been caught with my clothes off.
Jay, give Horace his credit, right? I don't think he ever, even after he went traitor, made that one public, did he?
Yeah.
I think he maybe enjoyed the embarrassment, or he just knew he was going to clap Sanguinius. Well, in a different way.
Early on, he was just being a bro.
Even if he did during the heresy, they'd say, oh, liar. He's a liar. Who would look at them? They're lovely. Look at Sanguinius. Who'd believe him? Pinch his cheeks. He's lovely. He's like, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
As Russ's sons turned into furries. So, you know.
As time went on, though, indeed, it seems to have gotten worse because wasn't it devastation of Baal when they let loose all the, you know, locked up ones, like the ones that the Red Thirst had a strong hold on. They were like gorillas.
Yeah.
Like they were walking on all fours. They were, like it, if left unchecked, it seems over like the 10,000 years of degradation, it's gotten even worse. And it turns them into like literally hulking monsters. Like it actually has a physical effect on them. Although,
Even in the Blood Angels omnibus, they try one of the apothecaries with the help of Fabius Bile, doesn't know at the time. They're like, hey, maybe we could like clone Astartes and make new Blood Angels that don't have the gene flaw. And that turns into the Blood Fiends, where they're like, oh no, it's even worse than it was before.
Or alternatively, the Mechanicus messes around with it, and then you get the Lamenters.
Yes. And they get so badly.
The one upside of the Red Thirst is that it isn't necessarily permanent. They can, like, I guess, wake up from it. I'm trying to think of a better snap out of it.
Overcome it.
Yeah, you can overcome this. When the battle ends, there's a decent chance, like, you can go back to normal. You'll have to then deal with the consequences of eating an entire civilian like refuge in front of everyone. You know, there might be issues with that, but you know, you're lucid again.
It's pretty in terms of like, is we were like Colin said, is vampires, we weren't like, it's just vampires at certain points. It's gotten worse by the time of the 41st millennium, definitely.
At least I don't know what it does on the tabletop now, but I knew in 8th edition it was absolutely insane. It was just on the charge. You get a +1 to all your wound rolls, so you're wounding a Titan on a 5, a Space Marine infantry.
I don't know if it has, people in the chat or people listening in audio might be able to correct us. I don't know if it does the thing that World Eater Corn Berserkers do, which is they have Blood Surge. If you shoot them, you get to roll a d6 and they get to move closer to the target that shot them.
I think they, at least at some point in time, they had something like that.
Something like that. But that essentially is the Red Thirst, but this will come up later. This is related to the Death Company, but it's not everyone who has Red Thirst will get assigned to Death Company, though. Not quite.
I would say like some most of the Blood Angels are like, again, like I said, shameful at best and heresy at worst, so they try and hide it. Most like Blood Angels and their successors, some of them have different opinions. Blood drinkers, how are you doing?
Maybe. When there's nothing malice do it, it's no good. Whatever.
I think their problem was they were eating Sisters of Battle. I think that was where the problem came from.
Not until they shut up.
Speaking of eating, I can just taste salt in the air. What's going on?
But I just thought most random sidetrack. I just saw a conversion today someone did where they just took chainswords and they just stacked 3 chainsaws on top of each other. So it was like one really long chainsaw. It was on a Blood Angel model.
Or reminds me of what's his name? from Metal Gear Revengeance, where he's got like the scissor sword. What's his name? Sundowner. Oh. And he got like a sword, and he puts them between your head, like around your neck. You're like, oh no,
imagine fucking invincible.
It's a cruel, and I'm very much in touch with my inner child.
like we said, oh, don't forget the best line, like the good old days after
9/11. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Great game. It can also affect you in real life when you enter a room in PUBG and wipe an enemy team, and your friend is also in the room, and he goes, Colin, why are you still shooting me? And you acknowledge that it's taking a lot longer to kill this guy because he's your friend. And there's reduced friendly fire damage, but it doesn't click. And then you kill him, and he looks at you like a sad puppy on the ground. Like, why did you do that? Why did you open fire on me for a minute straight? And it was like, I thought you were a bad guy, man. My bad.
Well, speaking of the next thing then, which is the real reason why there's a death company formed for the Blood Angels and all their successors was itself the Black Rage. So during the end of the Siege of Terror, it'd been going on for ages. I'm not going to lie. I'm reading through the entire Siege of Terror series again. My God, is it? It happens a lot. Like, so much is happening. During the end, Sanguinius, even an old lord, like Sanguinius, boarded the Vengeful Spirit, and he would go on to duel Horus, which was a vision the Primarch had seen even since he was, you know, even a young Primarch. He kind of knew his death would be at Horus. It makes it really sad because in a lot of the novels, he kind of realized like fate is one of those things, unlike Conrad Kurz, who he talks to, he basically says, you know, fate is, you know, we're slaves to it. And Sanguinius says, I know I'm going to fight Horus, but I've actually seen a thread of fate in which I can win. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. Sanguinius, beautiful, beloved, loved by all. Yeah.
This was
I just had the image of Doctor Strange from Endgame, but it's the Emperor. It's just like, there's a chance you can win. He's just there like,
There was a chance.
They were actually. It was in the. It's in the book Runestorm. Literally, Sanguinius sees a vision of how he actually manages to beat Horus, and when this confrontation actually happened, it just appears nothing like it. And Horus brutally kills Sanguinius. He toys with him, and then he beats him to death. To the point in which, like, the broken winged form of Sanguinius is then erected kind of like a crucified Christ-like thing behind the throne of Horus. It's, I'm not going to lie, it's so brutal in the book. You're literally like, oh my God.
Nice.
And the problem with this is that this created a psychic backlash that would wash over all of the Blood Angels, and a rage so pure and full of hate would spring through all of them. Their vision just clouded. They became, you know, the red thirst activated, but then this was something beyond it. And essentially every enemy in front of them started to sort of look like Horus. Now this is going to be a reoccurring theme when the Black Rage activates again. And as Colin said earlier, this thing is not necessarily a gene flaw, but there's something more to this Black Rage. It's the death wake of Sanguinius being, you know, again, like broken on the knee of Horus.
If you get Blood Angel's gene seed, it's a problem you have to deal with, but it doesn't come about like just from like an inherent problem with the gene seed. Magical Primarch death was so traumatic that it like affected the gene seed going forward.
I think there's something to be said there. It could also be like seen as like a mutation of their original curse, where it's like, this is already a thing that can happen with them. Yum, yum, yum. And they're like, well, we got this. KS1's like, this is great, but I like this. And they just made something else out of that that kind of traumatic experience they'd already have ingrained within them.
Yeah.
But with a little bit of seasoning, you know?
Did they? I don't think they ever said it. Oh, what's up, Al?
I'm going to say a good random side question. For all of you guys, your Black Rage activates, but who do you see instead of Horus? Who do you have to fight? Every person's the same.
I go back to that PUBG match and I just see him and I just can't stop.
Wind Ranger players and Dota 2 Pudge players.
No, I
would say Outworld Devourer players because I just got clapped at them back in the day.
I, 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 I see someone playing that hamster ball from Overwatch, and I just got it.
Yep, I just I'm doxed. I'm like getting their IP address and everything, and I'm heading over. Oh my god!
I don't have a good answer, so I'm just gonna say Melissa McCarthy. There we go, because that'd be
okay.
Wow. But essentially, when this Black Rage activated through the entire Legion, they weren't ready for this. Not that they ever could be, but they started to attack the traitors with pretty much just like what a World Eater would be. They have no care for their survival, but they also just killed anything in front of them for most of them. They even attacked other Imperials. So a lot of, I think, even when it happened on Cygnus Prime, I think there was like a proto activation or something close to. So there was. I'll explain at the end about why it was possible that the Black Rage possibly activated before the death of Sanguinius, but essentially, it, supposedly, a small part of it did happen during the Horus Heresy, and they killed some Space Wolves, so that were meant to be their friends. Not good. After the Siege of Terror, though, the death of Sanguinius, the Blood Angels would be again split, like many of the other legions, the Loyalist ones, and they would, you know, good old Gilliman's Codex there, and they would go split off into their various chapters. But the problem would still arise that even new legionaries inducted in to the Legion or like the chapters following this, people would still, you know, recruits would fall to the Black Rage. This was kind of here to stay. And I think we're at a good point, maybe, if there's some donations you want to possibly go through.
Yeah, we can go through them. So start from the top. So we've got Shane Bra. The 499 said, Colin, you look very handsome today.
Oh, aww. Thank you.
That's nice.
I'd say.
And then
Johnny Orc. Do you want to do this one?
Sure. Johnny Orc with the 5CA. We can wah if we want to. We can leave your gits behind. If they don't wah, well, if they don't wah, then they're no boys of mine.
Nice. Boys, thank you for the donation.
Very nice.
Thank you.
It is Orktober.
Yeah, and I've not made any orc content. Sorry.
And I've had people commenting they're upset with me for not making orc content this year. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't.
We're cooking. We swear we're cooking. Don't worry. Zenon for the €2 says, would love a book featuring Lamenta's Death Company. Wasn't it like there's one guy who's is it a dreadnought that's still in?
It's, yeah, he's Death in the
Watch, isn't he?
He thinks like, he's the last of his chapter.
Oh, poor guy.
Really sad.
Poor fella.
Pews missing me off again. Pews on the PUBG bridge. RWJ was wielding a lightsaber. Hal was in the Vermintide cave. What? Colin, Joseph Pollard, Colin almost gave the Black Rage a new meaning. Damn, people are telling the line today. God.
Eli bad mouthing Blood Angels and my Primarchs and Sanguinius further with results in a Black Rage moment in Canada. Only angels may fly, says Sanguinius. I'm not a Blood Angels hater. I just think the Emperor's children are better. That's
Sanguinius is overrated.
Oh,
he said it.
No, not true.
No,
you know who did see a single timeline of victory and was able to achieve it? Eldrad versus Abaddon.
Wow.
All right. DJ Beast, the ultimate meme man super fan, has become a member. Thanks very much, DJ Beast.
He sends us some diabolical stuff we might read at the end.
Yes, indeed.
Joseph Pollard here says,
there we go.
Has anyone got out of the Death Company without dying, or has that never happened? There is one, and we will get. Yeah, we will. Oh, we will get to him. No, it's not really a spoiler, but we will get to. I've saved a bit for him at the end. Miss Amilov again for the 2 Bulgarian something. Black Rage activates. The question is, though, Miss Amilov, which Zenon one is it first?
Oh, I think it's an alternate.
Zenon has become a YouTube member, and he's been playing some games of Space Marine 2 with me for a while. So thanks so much, Zenon. Awesome. Nice.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. But back to the juicy lore bits here, though. So the Death Company itself was kind of officially formed right after. I mean, they maybe still write this lore in the Scary series, but it's essentially formed right after the Horus Heresy, and then maybe during or after the Scouring. And the Blood Angels themselves and their successors, who are chapters, for the last 10,000 years of all of the Imperium's history, all the brothers who fall to the Black Raid that just sort of suddenly appears within them, they are formed into, as the title says, Death Company. Now, Death Company Marines themselves, they paint their armor black. I think it's more like a mark of sort of shame, or like in a way, like they're representing death, they're dead men. And upon their shoulders, possibly even like some of their legs as well, they put those massive like red X's. And this is to symbolize the wounds that Horus gave to their beloved Primarch Sanguinius. Because even at the end, when the Death Company fully lose themselves to the Black Ray, they fully believe that they are Sanguinius and that they are basically fighting Horus. I do like the one from the Tyranus story where like the guy's like slowly walking on a world, and I think the world's about to be devoured by the Tyranids, but then they've won. But then they're not like attacking him because they're about to throw themselves into the pool. But he just sees loads of little Horuses, like mini Horuses next to bigger Horuses. And they're kind of like watching him. And he lets himself fall to the Black Rage just to kill a few more. Pretty tight. Mm.
There's some really good comics. I've seen comic strips and art pieces people have done of like, from the perspective of a Black Rage Blood Angel, seeing everyone as Horus. And I've seen a few of them over the years, and they're always quite fun to see because I like the perspective of it. Yeah, sorry.
Crazy, like, for them as well, the wound is so great that even they, who 10,000 years have not seen Horus, like, Horus appears to them, and they know what Horus looks like. So you know it's a proper wound.
My favorite one of those is still some like Tyranid warrior is hiding behind a ruined building, and a blood angel is just like kicking him out.
What was the name of the guy who assassinated Abraham Lincoln? What was his name? Yeah, imagine if like Americans just inherited, like they just go crazy and just like, it's him. I see him.
Watch out!
The Canadian one would just be someone who lost an argument and was a bit aggressive.
Canadians go back to a Stanley Cup loss.
Blackhawks.
God, I think I see Nigel Farage now. that would be my moment.
But when was the last time we won the Stanley Cup? Just for the American team, isn't it? Edmonton almost won the other day, right? And then we lost, and then, you know, I guess I'll die.
Is Stanley Cup ice hockey, or is that
ice hockey? Yeah, it's hockey. At least I thought it was hockey. Ice hockey.
The Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And it's just won by Americans, which freaking.
Yeah,
you're in the league. Do better.
Well, there's hockey on AstroTurf, like fake grass, and then there's ice hockey.
Yeah.
Do they not have regular
people? Hockey? Say the guy who runs the NHL hates Canada.
What do you mean regular? Ice hockey is regular hockey.
Yeah.
No, bro, what do you mean? The Olympics, you don't know. Like there's hockey, which is the one that is just running.
It's like not normal hockey.
Yeah, no, that's like special, stupid Olympics hockey. Ice hockey is what matters.
I think someone described it once, like, it's like a bunch of men running like divorced dads. It looks so ungraceful.
It's an odd sport, that's for sure.
Back to Warhammer lore, I forget sometimes. But essentially, for the Death Company, the Marines are somewhat lost to their Black Rage, so they are led by Death Company chaplains, who they lead their squads of fallen brothers into mostly suicidal missions because they are seeking an honorable death. The Death Company chaplains are somewhat able to control their troops. They use things like chants, battle hymns, holy litanies of the Emperor, and praises of Sanguinius to keep them, remind them of like the men of who they are underneath the incoherent rage. But it's the point where Death Company chapters are so valuable that if they die or are taken out, the coherency of the unit is pretty much lost, and they're pretty much going to attack anything they see. Many of them are locked away, who are too far gone, in the secret towers upon Baal, and all the other successors also keep a lot of them secret. There is something about some Marines who, like, they've just gone way too far, and they'll actually attack their own brothers. And for that, they have a certain high chaplain who goes around and delivers justice. Andy, who are we talking about? Mm-hmm. This is a special individual.
Before I just like the idea that all the chapters go, you're going to angry jail, and that's how they deal with them. So the high chaplain of the Blood Angels is a fella by the name of Astaroth the Grim. He had a recent revamp. He's the goat. He had a recent model update, which looks really cool. He's known as the Redeemer of the Lost, and his brethren. He has a couple of special. He has a particular role. He does do battle line duties, but he's mainly known for the fact that he has to execute those who are lost to the Black Rage. Because while it's true, the Blood Angels do kind of, you know, they round up all the guys who are a bit too cross, and they put them in a tower, and they're just headbutting the walls for a few years until they're like, right, okay, off to battle. Usually they like to only send them out to fight once, maybe twice, and then hopefully they die in battle, and if not, all right, get rid of them, because otherwise they're going to have just a bunch of, like, and again, if you're like insane and you're jumping into the thick of battle and surviving with no regard for your own safety, you don't want too many of these guys around all the time, because kind of a handful. So he actually seeks out people, Astartes, who are suffering from the Black Rage, because he has this strange ability to sense people galaxy-wide who are suffering from the curse, and he can also sense when it's starting to you know, he'll be like, brother Petunius, you doing all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. Because are you sure?
You really?
Getting some kind of, you know, feeling a bit of anger from you, a bit of passive-aggressive tendencies. Like, I'm not angry. I said I'm not angry. And it's like,
you're telling me he's basically the like a therapist / the American IRS, where like they know how much you owe, but they just want to tell you.
Can't tell you.
I'd say he's more like a repo man in a way. He actually has a personal void craft called the Eminence Sanguis. He roams the galaxy with it. I believe in the Blood Angels Omnibus, if I'm not mistaken. It's almost like it's described as him hearing like a kind of weird music almost. And it's like the closer he gets to someone he's looking for, like you could be in like Holy Terror suffering from the Black Rage, and he could be on the Eastern Fringes, and he just kind of hear this like. And as he gets closer, it gets louder and louder until it's like. When he's like right next to the guy who's suffering. And so he has another trait where he actually can help calm those around him from falling to the Black Rage. And also he kind of instills a bit of discipline to those who are already under its thrall. He doesn't like necessarily lead the death companies, but he's responsible for them. And because of his role in the chapter, his battle brothers don't really like, they don't trust him, because they know there's a good chance they'll be having their heads cut off by him in the near future.
If he's around, even if it's not them, someone they're friends with is probably losing their head.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, even though they all respect him, they're also like, I don't really like you. Like, again, there's like a nice exchange in the Blood Angels Omnibus. One of the shorter parts of the Omnibus is Rathan, who is a character I read the whole books for to do a video no one watched because he's a really old character, but I think he's really cool. He's one of only two space marines that have ever like fallen to the Black Rage and come back from it, which is him and Mephiston. And he's kind of like his like protege. He's not a librarian, but like Mephiston's like, you brought me back from the Black Rage the second time and you survived somehow. And he's like, He has the Spear of Telesto, Sanguinius's unique weapon, and that's how during the Blood Angel Civil War he uses that to cleanse the Black Rage from his brothers when Sinch gets involved. But there's a bit where like they have an interaction, and he kind of does a Leandros. He's like, I don't trust you. You had the Black Rage. I think you still have the Black Rage. And so well not. Out, am I? He's like, no, but I can tell. And he's like, he basically goes, he orchestrates a mission where the little fortress they're in with he brings the Spirit of Lesto back to like their vault of goodies, and they store it in this base, and there's a tech marine. He's just like, don't touch anything. And Astaroth orchestrates a test where it's an Alpha Legion invasion of the fortress. And he makes it all up, and he blows up a bunch of stuff, and it's all to check Rathen's not fall into the Black Rage by like stressing him out. That's the kind of guy this guy is. He's also the only one who didn't really trust the Primaris Space Marines, because when they were like given to the Blood Angels, the Mechanicus and stuff, they're like, oh, these Space Marines, they haven't got any problems, if you know what I mean. And he's like, I have no idea what you mean. But Astaroth's like, nah, mate, I don't care what these newfangled Space Marines are called. They're going to have rage in it. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. It's cool. He's like, nah, mate, nah. No, you're a Blood Angel. You get angry. You're angry all the time. I should know. I've killed like 100 of my brothers or something crazy. And he also hunts down other successors as well. Like any Blood Angel successor, he's the guy who's like going to cut their heads off, because he actually finds out that his criticism was valid, because he kills a Red Wing chapter Space Marine. And the Red Wings are like, hang on, who's this? And he's like, oh, I'm Astaroth. It's kind of like we have like a thing where one of your brothers die and they're like, oh, but we're Primaris. We don't have, what do you want about? He's like, well, what's going on with your mate over there? So he kills him. He also has an elite group of five chaplains known as the Erelim. And the Erelim are interesting because they are completely clad in like black armor, no adornments other than they have a Blood Angels logo on both their pauldrons in white. And they have big wings, and they just guard his secret base of operations, which only the chapter masters of the Blood Angel successors and Dante know about. It's like, everyone's like, we don't know. We don't want to know where this guy lives. He's weird. Keep him away. He's strange. He also has an artificer suit of armor that's like all arterial. It kind of looks like the twin of Mephiston's armor. And he carries around a power axe that's just called the Executioner's Axe, and he likes to cut people's heads off. And he already was looking a bit kind of gaunt and scary, and it makes him look even more so. So that's Astaroth the Grim, and he's a creepy guy.
I was about to say, he's, I feel like I hear the, is it the Duke Nukem thing where it's like Slayer, where he goes like, you don't have the Black Rage? That's too bad. He's like,
hell, armor is not for pussies.
That Duke Nukem? No, is that Duke Nukem? Or is that? I think. Can't remember. But essentially, there are some variations amongst some death companies. So there is the Angels in Carmine, who most death companies are like what the original Blood Angels one, which is just the black with the red X's on them. But this one, apparently Angels in Carmine have alabaster white, specifically alabaster white. I don't know what is so specific, but essentially they have that with white and they have black backpacks. Maybe they thought like, oh, it's a bit of a fashion show. We're not like the other people. We stand out. The Flesh Terrors are an interesting one. There's not many Flesh Terrors probably at this point, or they need help. The Flesh Terrors have the... Seth is he'll be back. They kind of follow most of the same scheming, but except they kind of have like a pale gray, and they have red helmets for their death company and their back. Oh, and their backpack and pauldrons, apparently. It's a bit of an odd choice there. It's like an inversion of their normal kind of colors. The Lamenters, Colin mentioned them earlier, these poor boys. They back
13th founding, my beloved.
I was about to say, do you know about their interactions with the Black Rage that much, Colin?
So I know like the gist of what, like how they came about and stuff. It was with the Cursed Founding. The Mechanicus was like, we're gonna mess with things a bit. Let's see if we can improve Space Marines, which I don't think is an inherently bad idea. I don't think the Emperor would throw a fit over that, regardless of what the Inquisition and anyone else might say. He'd probably be like, if you can make it better, go nuts. Except they didn't quite get it. So the lament early on, it was like, they're free. No Black Rage, no Red Thirst. Mentor's doing pretty good. It would seem that, however, they did have the downside initially of, they didn't have those two curses. They had their own curse, which is just supernaturally bad luck.
Bruh. I mean, that's like, I've tried a Dark Souls build with like a lock build, and it didn't really do much for me. But the Lamenters here, they even had worse luck.
Yeah. They did not put points into luck in their Fallout special score.
God forbid you have a yellow color scheme as well. Oh my god, so difficult to paint.
So screw the yellow. That tier, like the checkerboard pattern on their shoulder plate. No, thank you.
That is yeah.
But with time, it was eventually revealed that no, actually, the Red Thirst and Black Rage were not cured out of their gene seed, and they still have to deal with that, on top of being the unluckiest people in the galaxy.
Yeah. I think it was stated in some way. I think their Black Rage just came about initially, I think, with the opening of the Great Rift as well. So, like, they would, like... maybe not the opening of the Great... I think it came, like, way later, and they weren't ready for it, because they didn't have a death company at that time, so...
I thought it came about a bit earlier. Like, I remember, like, something happened. It was, like, they were protecting civilians, and then someone noticed, like, oh, don't tell me this is the Black Rage. So, like, one of the people in charge was, like, just blow up our position. We're going to die anyways, either from, like, the whoever they were facing or their insane brothers. Give us an honorable death. And it was, like, a... Like, they asked the civilians for permission first, which was actually really cool.
Who do you feel worse for? The Lamenters, or is it the Celestial Lions, the ones, like, hunted by the Inquisition?
Probably the Eldar. Lamenters. Did you just say Eldar?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, there's my real answer.
I'll be honest. Oh, boo-hoo, like, two Space Marine chapters are, have bad times, oh no.
I think probably, well, the thing with the Lions, right? They could have kept their mouth shut for just, like, a little bit and then secretly gone to Terra. But they didn't, and were like, hey, fuck you, Inquisition. We're going to report on you. The Inquisition, really, the agency with unlimited power over everyone in the... We're going to tell on you. It's like, all right, you're morally right, but what did you think was going to happen?
I was saying, random sidetrack. What's the Eldar craft world that kind of gets along with the Blood Angels? Because I know I've read it in a few books where there's one of them which is like, oh, Imperium... a scum, but those Blood Angels, they are honorable.
I think Iandan and the Blood Angels worked together to fight the Tyranids, if I remember. But that could be wrong. That could be wrong.
Some Eldar has like an okay relationship with Eldar.
Yeah, but that's just Eldar in general, though.
I don't know. I know they did, like the Eldar worked with the Grey Knights at one point.
Yeah, that was Iandan.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. People, if they are able to remember, let us know in the chat.
I know Bail Tahn and Talarn are kind of friends, but
somehow
actual goats, both of them.
Yeah, it's because real Talarn recognizes real.
Yeah, literally.
Especially the Dark Elves. That didn't go well. But speaking of other ones that have differentiation, there is the Angels Numinous, who are kind of... Oh, they're dickheads, these boys. Absolutely waste. These guys, they don't, like, for most of the other ones, they just, like, their death company is very much the Battle Brothers, you know, oh, poor guys, fall into the Black Rage, at least give him a good death. The Angels Numinous don't give a flying fuck. Like, they immediately think of them as cannon fodder. They'll shoot their own death company group. They are pretty much just... Yeah, that might be the worst position for a Space Marine, other than if you are strapped, a psycho strapped with like blanks in Abaddon's ship, if anyone knows the reference.
Yeah.
Poor guy. The last one is one of the original founding members of the Grey Knights.
Yeah, that guy Abaddon's got is just a bear rug or something.
He was one of the Dark Angels. He was called Epimetheus,
That's from...
eyes are missing. He's a psych who has two blanks.
Yeah, they cut out his eyes, stitch his mouth closed, sew two blanks to his back.
Is he the one who 1v1s the Lord of Change in that book? Is that the same Grey Knight?
Because he's cool. I'm going to take a 10,000-year like secondment to this planet to keep it from falling into the wrong hands. And he wakes up and he's like, what's new, bitches? Horus Heresy character coming back from the dead. Oh, no. Stitches. poor guy.
That might be one of the worst fates, honestly. And he just sits in Abaddon's ship, just mewling for pain. Guy. The last one is the Angels.
He was rescued, though.
Was he? Oh, didn't think that.
In a recent, I'm sure recently he got rescued, but I might be wrong.
Oh, lucky dude. Well, he's put him out of misery. The last one is the Angel Sanguine, who they pretty much don't give their Death Company or people who fall into the Black Rage a chance. They just kind of strap them something called the Tablet of Lastrillo. I think I said that right. In there, the Fortress Monastery. And weirdly enough, it says like those who regain their senses are presented with the Shroud of Lamarty. So this is obviously a later addition to their practices. You don't really come back from the Black Raid. I think it's probably one of the things like it's just mostly those who are able to just like suppress it. You know, you see Horus, but you don't say it's Horus there. You're just like, I'm just ignoring the fact that's not Horus. But there are a few notable characters we need to go through for the Death Company. Some of these are so badass. There's a few Andy might have to fill in for me because there's so many.
Can I mention one other? Oh, sorry.
Good.
Did we mention the? I don't remember their name. I made a short of them a long time ago. The guys who made a deal with like with the demon prince.
Oh yes, the one who when they don't see Horus, they see that. Yeah, when they get the Black Rage, they don't see Horus. Which chapter master. Doing a deal with a Cinch,
and they're given like the same deal, but none of them have fallen to Chaos yet.
Yeah, every time they fall to the Black Rage, they're offered to join Chaos, and they go, "Nah, mate, that's cringe." Also, can I mention the Carmine Blades, the guys who Astaroth found, and they were like, "Oh, we're Ultramarine successors." And he's like, "Bitch, please, you're wearing red armor, and look at your brother over there frothing at the mouth, going," and he's like, "All right, I'll kill him." And he's like, "Yeah, just letting you know, guys, you are Blood Angel successors," and they're like, "Oh, what?" And it's like, "Yeah, sorry, mate."
Really?
They're really upset about it, and it's funny. But
I'm cooking my hairline.
They're upset because they know they can never be Ultramarines now.
Yeah.
I'd be sad too.
And to be fair, there are also some chapter successors who do things like they do cannibalism or they drink blood to stave off the Black Rage.
When the Sons of Malice do it.
So some have workarounds with the Black Rage, but there's some fun little. That's kind of the fun with the Blood Angels. Like color schemes are all basically red or black, unless you're a Lamenter.
What's so the one that you mentioned, Andy? About they thought they were Ultramarines, but they're actually Blood Angels. They're Carmine
Blades. Yeah.
I remember them because the poor guys just discovered they are Blood Angels, and then like not long after they turned up to the devastation of Baal, and they're like, "We're here to represent." And then they got absolutely trashed to the point where like one of their sergeants became their chapter master because he was like,
"Oh my gosh!"
They're like, "Wow, you'll do."
He's the guy who said like he's one of the few people who voted against going because he wasn't one of the younger members of the chapter, and he was like, "Oh my god, I'm chapter master."
Also, the Angels Vermilion are like, "Bruh, we should just tell the Imperium we have this flaw," and the Blood Angels hate them. They're like, "No, shut up, shut your mouth," and that's their whole character thing. They're just like, "We should be honest with the Imperium." It's like, "Oh, I hate you." Dante's like, "I hate you, you're yuck."
Honesty in the Imperium, like, disgusting. Do we have any more donations to go through, or
we have 5 donations.
Thank you guys.
Colin, join me that one.
Okay. Well, let me your thing. First off, Zenon, welcome to Lore Criminal. And then Parker Summerlin with the 5. I see Colin's 5 head, and that activates my blood.
Damn.
Dante, fittingly, I fall into the Black Rage when somebody says that there are no good guys in 40K.
Real. On she's the goat.
I'll take this next abomination. OWM, thank you for the 110 try. T-R-Y. The currency abbreviation is T-R-Y.
Darkish, I think.
In my Rizzle's dreams, I see that Gyat. You promise you'd phantom text me there again someday, but you never did. Well, I'm Ohio now and our special goon.
Thank you.
It's the profile for me. Love it. Thank you.
He comes back.
Oh, there's another Tom. American one, though. Tom Warren with the... To be fair, if I saw John Woog's booth, I would probably go after him. So maybe Americans do if the Black Rage just isn't happening to anyone yet.
Light again. And a fun fact, my favorite chaplain is... or was a Death Company chaplain. Apollos is a straight-up beast. Somehow, Seth is less angry than him.
Very nice.
Damn. Mr. Me Love again. I mean, he says, it's simple. We eat horror.
Good plan.
Love that.
Thank you for the donos, you guys.
Thank you for the donation, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Some notable characters, though, for the Death Company. I had to start with the absolute badass who got a new model, Mr. Lamartis himself. Lamartis kind of has a bit more to his history, but the sort of boiled down version is that he was a brother of the just the normal Blood Angels. And unfortunately, like most of them, he fell to the Black Rage. And just just when he was about to be executed by Astaroth, the dude was like, nah. So he coherently demanded that he live so that he could fight more of the Emperor's enemies. Obviously, Astaroth was not prepared for that amount of Riz. So the dude kind of backed off. He's like, not used to the bitches talking back. So he's a bit.
I can take it. Are you sure? Dude, are you sure? I can handle it. Just put him away.
Has anyone seen someone here watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've seen a few episodes.
Have you?
You know the one with Frank, and they did like they reenact the chess drama that's happened recently, where Frank's trying to cheat in chess and he puts the thing up his rear end.
Oh my gosh, I have not seen this.
But the problem is, the dude's not like, obviously, if people don't know the chess lore drama here, supposedly, was it Carl Magnuson?
I don't know which one.
Thinks he played against someone who was cheating, and then the whole rumorverse was like someone put something up their ass that did like Morse code buzzes. And there's an Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where they reenact that, and it's so funny.
Yeah, with the boxing chess where he put a thing up the guy's bum and then he was boxing and then they play chess and it's just like...
Jeez.
At the side of the stage.
But Lamartis himself, sorry to bring us back to Blood Angels somehow. Lamartis himself was resistant and he could handle it. Lamartis was lost in the grip of the Black Rage, but such was his willpower that he's somewhat able to stay sane. And this was kind of a first for the chapter. Most of the time it's literally just a death sentence. It probably will be for him, but he was spared lightly by Astaroth. He's not used to sparing people, and he's somewhat now become their greatest chaplain, and he leads Death Company. He's nicknamed the Guardian of the Lost, which goes really hard. I think a lot of Blood Angel things often just like it's the blood something, or like the Space Wolf thing is just wolf thing. So Guardian of the Lost is pretty good. Are there any other things I've missed there, Andy, you want to tap on to Lamartis or
He's kind of one-dimensional in that, like that's all his character is. But he's a cool guy in that. Like he's just a crazy guy that refuses to be too angry, but just angry enough to be like, right, send in Lamartis, put him in, like freeze him, put him in the cold box for a few months. All right, we need Lamartis, get him out there. And he basically is like, I will try and like focus and organize the Death Company as best I can. By frothing at the mouth himself, was like, "I'm like you guys, kill him."
his model's mask is pretty sick. I do like that. The next one is Reclusiarch Joris or Joris, maybe. The dude is no longer with us because he fought Abaddon during the Seventh Black Crusade alongside Death Company and other elements of the Blood Angels, and such was the pounding that the Black Legion would take from Joris and just all of the Death Company around him, that on this world that they were fighting on, Abaddon and the ones, when they eventually won, they would desecrate all the corpses except Reclusiarch Joris and the rest of them. His Death Company, like they were in their broken black ceramite, they were seated in like makeshift thrones and they arrayed the killed Black Legionaries and elements of Chaos around them as a sort of massive, you know, I guess, well, throne really is a massive pillar of celebration to such was the destruction of Reclusiarch Joris. I think there's some pretty cool artwork maybe of that. He'd be pretty cool, but I think there's maybe a few. It'd be hard to find that. Chaplain Deanor, this is the one who, okay, this guy fought Khan the Betrayer and lived. The story is that he fought Khan on a world with other elements of Death Company. This is a Chapman's himself, and I think this one actually has some really sick artwork. If people can find it of Khan.
Yeah, he's an artwork character where he's on like one cover of a thing. It's like, what did he do? He was on the cover of the thing.
In fact, I think he's
the thumbnail. Oh, is that guy?
That really cool crafted, like, unique armor, like the black and red, and also the like jump pack
bisected
wings, which I hope to God they bring that back, because that's so cool. Go ahead, Zay.
Oh, no, sorry, you first.
Oh, well, he managed to get away with fighting Khan, and he only lost an arm. That's the only thing he said. But he couldn't win, obviously. But the rest of his entire Death Company did fall to Khan and his warriors. I think Khan killed them single-handedly, so... pretty horrific. There's one I'd like to note. High Chaplain Carnivon. And this one is not Blood Angel, but he's a Flesh Terror Death Company chaplain. He's a High Chaplain, much like Astaroth is. But he was possibly one of the longest-serving Death Company chaplains. So he was served in his role for over 250 years, which is pretty crazy long amount of time to be surrounded by, like, essentially... the Suicide Squad. So he did quite well. Unfortunately, he did die in the devastation of Baal, RIP. Erasmus Tycho. I feel like this guy might have been a Dawn of War. RIP. If Eli knows this boy, he was supposed to be Dante's successor at one point. This guy, unfortunately, during the Second War of Armageddon, he had half of his face just completely melted off by an orc attack. And he had to wear like this sort of masks on the side of his head. He kind of went a bit mad. And eventually the dude unfortunately would lose himself to the Black Rage. And then he would pass in the Third War of Armageddon, which actually is quite a while later, but someone who was going to be so good,
he has a cool model.
No successors for Dante.
His whole thing was just like, I was so beautiful. Now I look like this. And that was what really broke him. And there is like a book where he's in it. I think it's actually in the omnibus. He's in it briefly in like a side one when he's not afflicted with the Black Rage and he's like a normal Blood Angel at the time. And that's quite interesting. But I think he fights like a demon and he barely survives. And it's all like, oh, you should have died today. And I was like, foreshadowing, because the fate he's going to get is going to be worse. That's sad. Oh,
sheesh.
And he was going to be like, he was being groomed to be the chapter master, and then he fell to the Black Rage, and they were like, guess not. Oh, well.
Dante still cannot die, my poor boy.
You
know, there's the phrase in the UK that beating a dead horse. I don't know if that is in America as well.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, like Dante is a corpse horse. The poor guy needs to like.
Dante is beating a dead horse with another dead horse. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Dude is old. Next one is called Moriah or Moriar, the Chosen.
Morley.
This one is super cool. I think Colin Eli might specifically appreciate this one. He was a Blood Angel who fell during battle. He fell and he was mortally wounded. The Sanguinary priests at the time thought we can save him, so they interred him into a dreadnought. The only problem is that when he awoke, the dude awoke with the Black Rage. this box woke up and he was pissed. and he was, I think, one of the first Death Company dreadnoughts. And supposedly, he's the only one at the moment now, other than the possibly newer ones, which will be the Brutalis Primaris thing, which is not official. No, he's the first named one. He's the only named one at the moment. But supposedly, he suffers so badly from the Black Rage and the Red Thirst that they actually have tubes of blood that they constantly pump it into his little sarcophagus. There's a little bit of giggling meat.
I'd love to see that, the conversion.
They outfitted his dreadnought to intravenously feed him blood. So they have ports and stuff. I just like the idea that they finish a battle, they deactivate the dreadnought, and the labor serfs are just moving the sarcophagus, and you can just hear him going, like non-stop. It's like, sedate him, please, quickly.
How do we sedate a dreadnought?
I just love that is the ultimate version of a wind-up toy, where you just gotta let him go. You just gotta let... dude deserves buzzsaws at that point. But he's fun just because he is ultimately Dreadnoughts, people who are inside, like the Space Marines inside Dreadnoughts are already pissed because they don't have any sensation. Yeah. This guy only has one emotion. It's just rage.
I like the way you said that. Just like, oh, he's potentially one of the most like hard, like suffering the most of any character in settings. Like, he's fun, but yeah.
Honorable shout out, speaking of, to the Space Marine 2 Dreadnought, who I'm not convinced the Ultra Marines didn't steal from the Blood Angels. He wakes up. Where's Magnus?
Rip Heldrake.
Where are the Trojans?
Complete rock.
One shot by a statue.
Well, do you know the word he says when he's like, is Magnus here? And then Titus goes, he's not.
Like, then I'll... Yeah, he's just upset. And he's like, then I'll beat the hell out of his sons instead.
Yeah, it's great.
The next one, as we mentioned some things earlier, is Mephiston, who was a previous member of the Death Company.
We have a beginner to expert on him.
We do. He was once called Calistarius of the Librarius. He's a model in Death Hulk? Space Hulk. The Space Hulk board game, cool. Which has some of the most glorious Blood Angel models ever created so far in terms of Terminators. Really cool. Calistarius would one day eventually fall to the Black Rage. He's a Librarius, so I actually imagine the idea of a Librarian who's fallen to the Black Rage is kind of a little bit more hardcore, because that guy just does not care about coming back. But it was whilst he was sent to fight in the Second War of Armageddon, tons and tons of orcs, I mean, just ungodly amounts of orcs, and I think in the book, I remember they describe it, he just starts like by hand, like just clawing orcs down, like making them burst from the inside out and reaping them. But unfortunately, then he was buried under a massive mountain of rubble. If I'm not incorrect, I think it was in a monastery just fell on him, as it does. And for 7 days, he would claw his way out, fighting the Black Rage within himself. But when he emerged, he had conquered it. Unlike was some of the characters earlier, like Lamartis has pushed it way down, or the Spear of Telesto has somewhat helped stave off. Who's the character? Raffin, is it? Raffin?
Raffin cheats. He goes like, hey, it shoots a big beam that, like, they fight the Word Bearers in one of the books, and it just disintegrates all the Word Bearers. But if you have the Blood of Sanguinius, you don't get harmed. But then during the Civil War, they're fighting themselves, so it doesn't do that. But it does, like, purge the Black Rage from all the Astartes that are afflicted by it, including Mephiston. And he's just like, cheat code. Amazing. So
it gives a little bit of Sanguinius love, you know. Don't say that. But when he emerged, he had conquered the Black Rage. But he also, Calistarius died inside that rubble, and someone new emerged, and he called himself Mephiston. And I remember the specific words of the book, because I did two videos on this guy, had to do, because I was so in love with him. When he emerged, I think the exact wording was, he emerged as a new person, and the name written upon his soul was Mephiston. No idea where that comes from.
That's so sus, bro.
And again, initially people, when they looked at him, they were like, well, you know, the Sanguinary priest, even Astaroth turned up and it was like, okay, I'm taking heads. You know what I mean? Let's circumcise this guy's face off. Like, this guy doesn't deserve to be around. But something was, like, Mephiston himself, again, Calistarius was kind of dead. It was like, the way he described it is in Calistarius, the one affected by the Black Rage, is like, he watched someone else's life for a TV almost. Like, he was, but he knows he's not Calistarius. And then when he emerged conquering the Black Rage, he looks even more like gaunt and kind of scary, like a vampire. Whereas most Blood Angels look all beautiful and handsome and better than
Far from Astaroth. He's ugly as hell. Everyone's like, yeah, he's creepy.
It's funny that Astaroth
and they hate each other as well.
They hate each other.
The flip of the coin. Yeah.
It's more Astaroth hates Mephiston. But Mephiston would go on to essentially show, like, massive, obviously it's not really about him, this video, but a massive skip in his story. He will go to show that in the warp, there are two angels that fight for the soul of the Blood Angels. This is located near Baal and Baal Secundus. And there's one angel that is of gold, of purity. It looks quite similar to the Sanguinor. Obviously, for the uninitiated, the Sanguinor is like essentially an angel that literally is of the Blood Angels chapter and comes in their time of need. And then there was another angel, which is one of hate and darkness and rage. Each time a son of Sanguinius fell to the Black Rage, the darker angel, the one of hate and rage, would grow stronger. And at this point in the kind of lore, so many have fallen to the Black Rage and so many die in the Death Companies that the darker angel looks to be winning in the fight. So Mephiston essentially agrees to become what is the equivalent of the Sanguinor and becomes an avatar of the Angel of Death, literally the Angel of Hate and Rage, to sort of stem the tide. I think when they describe it, you know, foe warp Sanguinius essentially says to him, if you don't do this, it's going to be bad for the chapter, but if you do this, it'll be bad for you and you're going to hate your life. And he's like, ah. And he says no. He actually says, like, I don't want to do it. And then the angel, like, reveals himself to be Sanguinius. And he's like, oh, my God, I just got cucked by my dad. You know, how awkward. You know what I mean? Like, oh. It's, like, literally being offered a promotion in front of your manager. And then the boss was behind him. And you said no. So
yeah. Like, oh, man. And not being truly funny, that's also why Mephiston, why Astaroth doesn't like him. Because he's just like, I'm the edgelord of this chapter. You can't do my thing. I'm the one with the the Erelim with like the jet black, and then like Dante's got the golden feathers. That's my thing. Stop it.
So, I listen to Linkin Park, not you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I become so numb. Oh, God. But this is kind of the edge. Like these are more like the main characters. I don't know if there's any more minor ones that maybe Andy you thought of or Colin.
I know one. Unless I completely missed you all saying, in which case I'll feel really bad. Thalastion Joros.
Oh, I think I did cover him a little bit. He's the one who had the throne made from him.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. He's cool. If there's any other cool moments people remember, I've got a bit for the end of that as well. But I'm talking the last kind of main section, which is the Primaris problem. So as of the book, Darkness and the Blood, the Blood Angels fight the Devastation of Baal against the Tyranids. So many blood, like they are like 27,000 blood angels. Most of them die, but they managed to get saved by the Indomitus Crusade. They did a great job fighting Tyranids, well done. And they get restocked with the Primaris Marines who come from Belisarius, Kol, and Mars. To be fair, it is noted they are natives of they do take people who are the natives of those chapter homeworlds. So like the people who were the Primaris recruits, they are. What's really funny about Baal, random side point, Baal is not, like, outside of the Space Marine stuff, it has not progressed for 10,000 years. They are still tribes living in
horrid. This place sucks.
It's still like, so even if they return, they're like, wow, this shithole did not get better in 10,000 years.
Thirst water. Thirst water.
I think the giant scorpions have gotten bigger. Oh, no.
Especially after the Tyranids landed on the place.
They probably thirst water is calling really quickly because it's so funny.
Well, you see, it's water, right? You know. Let's see, you're traveling throughout Baal's many barren shitholes. you're thirsty because you're a like caveman tribe person. You're like, oh. It's in this blasted hellscape desert. There's water. Then you go to drink it, and then your body instantly dehydrates and you die.
It's like a gelatinous cube, isn't it? In D&D, like acid cube, isn't it? Baal sucks. But they keep it like that on purpose. But so a lot of the Primaris Marines, they are from Baal, and they appear at the time of, you know, post devastation of Baal. Dante's like, okay, thank you for all these new recruits. You know, we won't die, hell yeah. The problem is that when they were fighting in essentially what's Imperium Nihilus, so half the Imperium is, you know, cut off from the Light of Terror, Mephiston and Dante were fighting a Slaaneshi demon, and Mephiston went a bit too ham, and he kind of lost a little bit of control of his powers because there's so much Black Rage power in the universe. Like, it's almost like a magical thing that infects people that washed over the Primaris Marines, and it activated the Black Rage in the Primaris Marines. And even after this, other reports came that in other chapters who had been reinforced with Primaris stock, and even the one we mentioned with Astaroth, the Primaris Marines, despite not having maybe the Red Thirst, the gene flaw of the Black Rage, or the gene flaw of the Red Thirst, the Black Rage is something beyond that. It's a psychic wound, and now the Primaris are falling to it.
I just like the way you described it as like a software update. It's just, it just went and everyone went, oh, I've got the rage now.
It's like with Windows 10 updated.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not,
exactly.
I'm not going to Windows 11. I refuse.
And then the Blood Angel opened his eyes and all you heard was doodle.
There are a few cool moments, just like just finish off here, which is, again, because unfortunately Death Company is not a huge amount of lore, but the cool moment was one that Colin mentioned earlier, which is during the devastation of Baal, Dante basically goes, all their like ones that they hide in their Tower of Shame, Dante went, let him out, get the keys out, you know what I mean? What's the point? We're all going to die. So the entire like Death Company, like, dedicated like sort of prison tower just flooded out and all the Death Company people just the
Tower of Amareo, I think it is.
They all died, I think, but they had a good one last stand. One last thing that I think is really cool possibly is done at the final end of the devastation of Baal, when most of the Blood Angels sort of realized it was over, Dante declares like his big last charge that the Blood Angels will ride out, you know, ride out and die in style, you know, they'll go for it. And they all assemble for a massive charge of like all the different scions of the Blood Angels. And he just says to them, we are all Death Company now, even to like the normal Marines, to like the mortal humans who are fighting alongside them. Everyone on Baal was Death Company. And I thought that was, again, it's one of the coolest moments in that book. It fucked hard, I'm not gonna lie. I've really my favorite books.
It's basically charge Helm's out Deep. And,
yeah.
Funny enough, Dante does somewhat succumb to the Black Rage when he fights a Swarm Lord, and he melters it to the face and Axe of Mortalis is it in the guts, and Swarm Lord will never and then he dies. And then he actually just straight up dies, but then Sanguinius says, oh, you've done such an amazing job. And he's like, yes, I did. I lived 1,500 years. I'm so ready to die. And then Sanguinius is like, mm-mm.
Yeah,
I know you're ready. Like,
is this the exchange? Is this like, oh, you did such a good job, buddy. That's so good. It's like, I can die?
Mm. Yeah, like Sanguinius, Warp Sanguinius says, nuh-uh. And he's like, what? And then he starts screaming because pain starts to re-enter his body and he wakes up somewhat cured from his black rage. Mm. But poor Dante, he's like, he literally is like begs to die. Like, let me rest. I'm so damn tired. But
I feel sorry for Corbulo and the apothecaries just hearing him wake up and going, oh, geez, not again.
Just like their poor chapter master, just like, you know, 1,500-year-old Dante, the legend himself, weeping, being like, let me die. I'm so ready.
Or you pass him in the hall of the Fortress Monastery. He's like, how are you, chapter master? I'm doing shit.
Well, okay, I'm alive, cool. So that's my first problem.
Good to be here. Yep. Let me know.
Dante says, I want to die, and Sanguinius is like, no, you. No, takes back. So that's most of, unless I've, is any other cool things people want to mention about Death Company? I mean, there is a few more things, which is like their equipment is like, they more favor, like a lot of other chapters, it's more for like surviving engagement, whereas Death Companies don't care. So they've often favored things like hammers and just like chainsaws and other things, like close combat, heavy quarters, heavy hitting, because they're just designed to get in there and be like furious berserkers in combat. But other than that, I think that's most of Death Company lore. If anyone else has got any cool tidbits they want to add, or any thoughts and opinions, might be that.
I just had a thought. Cool. How do they deal with them in the Death Watch? I don't recall any lore about one of the Blood Angels.
I think it's
if they fall to Black Rage when they're seconded. I feel like they have a clandestine order within the Death Watch, and they're like, keep an eye on him.
It might be like other. I think other Blood Angels successors keep an eye out. Like they, so they know like other ones, like, oh, he's what's happened to him. So the other Blood Angel will be like, I know what's happening. I can't say, but like, I'm gonna go over there and help him. Bang!
Just like the idea Lenny. Of them going back to the watch, going back to the watch fortress and talking to the watch captains, like, so, why is your bolt round in his head? Heretic? Yeah, all right.
He had a gun on him, I swear. Like, you know what I mean? He was reaching.
Because I know the dark. Because I know the Dark Angels have a whole thing where they use, because they pledge so many members to the Death Watch, they have a clandestine like branch of it where they use the Death Watch's resources to hunt for the fallen. But like, just like at the same time, there's also a bunch of the Blood Angel successors just being like, Tim's looking a bit stressed. Keep an eye on him. All right, I will, will. I'm just going between the branches.
And there are, like, if I think for, like, particularly, like, if we're going on models and all that kind of stuff, so particularly if people are playing on tabletop, if they are not within range of a chaplain, they are essentially, they lose the ability to score points, I believe. No, they can't hold an objective. I don't think they're quite battle-shocked, or maybe people have to double-correct me on this. But they essentially, without their chaplains, they are essentially useless on tabletop. They get things that allow them extra. I mean, Blood Angel's detachments right now, as of time recording, is pretty strong. It's Blood Angel players are eating good. They have some sick models come out for them. I think with their like basic Marine, like the Primaris stock, the particularly the jump pack ones are super strong at the moment because they're not high point cost. Maybe Eli's got strong opinions about how they probably don't look as cool as they don't look as cool as their firstborn ones because it's a bit more iconography. Yeah, if you probably agree. But the artwork's good of it though, particularly the new box set launch is particularly fantastic. So if people are listening, go check that out. If you're a Blood Angels player, you're going to get a lot of love. This Death Company stuff, even in like conversion stuff, like there's so many good conversion bits out there for Blood Angel player and Death Company particularly as well. So if everyone is listening and they're like doing their painting and all that stuff, have a check out of that because it's pretty damn awesome. Other than that, I can't really think of anything else other with like with most Death Company stuff. It's not a massive topic, but it's one of those cool things about the Blood Angels because a lot of other chapters don't really like the Ultramarines don't really have a kind of their own gene floor group. You know what I mean? Like it's the group who like we don't want to talk about that much.
And it's quite an extreme gene floor. Like, oh, the Imperial Fist, like, I can't go into hibernation. Oh, that sucks. What's your flaw?
or Imperial Fist can't spit acid.
Yeah, exactly.
Really a shame.
True. You have to change your diet, mate.
We do have, I believe, another question for the week. Question of the week from all the lovely people out there.
Do the answers Colin. First.
Yes, from the previous week as well, which was on our previous episode on vampire counts. Go check that out if you haven't yet, because what my fantasy.
It's a good one. It's peak episode.
It's actually amazing. Eli represents so strong in that one.
Yeah, such a good opener.
Thinking about it, it was awesome. For the last questions of the week, who would you lock up in a room together? You know, Warhammer characters. As just an honorable mention, there were a lot of Manfred and someone else. There was a lot of those. But the ones I chose were a comedic comrade 5716, hashtag lockup. I would put the city of Skavenblight and Altdorf in a cage. entire cities.
Interesting.
The crazy answer.
Probably not Skavenblight.
Not Age of Sigmar, but or fantasy. Because Skavenblight now is a warp realm.
Are we including under Altdorf, like the Skaven bit in Altdorf? There's another Altdorf. I just like the image of just take the two largest cities of the Warhammer world. Just take them both.
Why not?
Is it like the Simpsons movie where they get a big glass dome?
Oh my god!
Or you get like you know how the planet of the sorcerers have the upside down pyramids. It's like having that fighting on top of a hive city, and that's where and they're just going like this to meet in the middle. Also,
even better, it's the Galactic Imperial headquarters and the Council of Ricks teleported in the middle of each other.
The next one is a. Zach M 5485 hashtag lockup Archaon versus Abaddon Hell in the Cell match. Two chosen nice. Enter, one god cool. leaves. I would like to see that.
Archaon has my vote. Not as in who would win, but who I want to win.
Yeah.
Man, Abaddon got his helm. Like as in his character had a badass helm like Archaon's. Oh my god, have you fixed so many things about
it? It's really all
you can't put the top knot in easily. It's really difficult.
Yeah, You'd have to have a hole on top of the helmet, which would defeat the point.
Abaddon's excuse is being, I don't want to cut my hair. I've been working on it for 10,000 years.
How does Gogetai Khan put on his helmet?
Does he? It's probably like a closed.
Doesn't Abaddon's 30k have a helmet?
Yeah,
he
doesn't
have a helmet, but
he has a top knot.
He has a top knot. Yeah, I think he has like a top knot port, so it goes maybe out the top.
It's got a little slide.
Maybe it might not have a helmet. I thought it did, but it might not.
He's got a miniaturized version of like one of those Star Wars hangar bay shields on the top of his helmet, so it's still airtight. Yeah, yeah. Top knot fits.
I feel like his top more ridiculous. Like even in early editions,
we can complain about that. How do Space Wolves get their beards and their helmets? Like
that's a good. That's another good
one.
And then the last one, which is just chosen because it's upsetting to speak and hear, Cookie Yuscrum. I think I said that right. 4650. I would lock up Colin with Teclis and see who comes out pregnant.
Very good. Very good. Need one of those for sure.
Someone sent me art of that, and it was about as horrific as you would think.
They sent you art of that. God. You disgusting people. We love you. Oh my goodness. I think we have a new question of the week. I think our one this week was simply just what makes you rage. Hashtag rage about Warhammer. Rage. It could be anything. It could be a lore moment. It could be a scenario or it could be,
what would be the thing that triggered the black rage within you? Yeah, just like
the wings of those sanguinary guards. Angry.
Oh, Border Princess says Arcan got tricked into banging a Celestial demon. Abaddon wouldn't fall for that.
That's right. Abaddon is a king.
God, madman.
You know what? There's a weird thing in lore. It's like the people who like it's Abaddon, and the people who talk about Abaddon, and the people who talk about Abaddon are like, oh my god, it's Abaddon. Oh my. And then when you're actually like with Abaddon, it's like, no, it's Abaddon. Like, when Talos met Abaddon,
it's like being a massive fan of the Beatles and then you meet Ringo Starr. So it's well, it's fine. He did Thomas the Tank Engine. That was pretty cool.
Abby's got integrity, does he? I
think he's cool.
Oh my god, you're reminding me of is that thing of like, oh my god, like it was like 10 years ago, this meme. Like, oh my god, Drake's coming to the party. Oh my god, Drake and Josh. I remember that.
Oh
man, that's wild. Okay, so good.
I would say, I'll give Abaddon. I appreciate that. Yeah, Mike the Bretonian, he spelled it right, finally. Like Abaddon just brews in his spare time. It's like someone drank it and was like, this tastes like engine oil. What is this?
Yeah, in the Black Legion book, isn't it?
Yeah, but Abaddon was like genuinely proud of it. Like, it's my craft IPA.
He has a man cave inside the Vengeful Spirit that's like buried. Awesome. And he's like, check out this massive thing I killed. Isn't that cool? We're like, yeah, awesome. It's fine. It's like, do you want a beer? Sure.
It was like,
why
the world
washed your hair?
The world of your present, didn't he? Like, he was like, actually, like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, Leovine Utrecht is like, yum, yum.
For the point of view character is like, what is this carpet?
Has he reached that age where he either has two different hobbies? It's smoking and like smoking meats and making. Do we have any more donations, Andy? I think maybe
we have five more. So we've got Donkey Man USA for the $5 dues. Colin is a made gonster. It's more trash than your taste in Twinks.
Gonster. Huh? Guinness. What's and monster. Have I told you all about my horrid creation? I think I have.
I remember hearing about it.
I'm interested in that.
Fire, or what is it? Corona Fireballs Zero Ultra.
Oh my gosh, man.
It's Corona. Nectar. Nectar. You know, Corona Light. Fireball and Monster Energy Zero Ultra.
That is something. Is
Andy the younger brother something. Of Lord Master of Sotek? There's no relation. don't think I've even seen his face. No.
Smashing Badger.
£2. £2. Erasmus Tycho succumbed to Twink.
The fate of all Blood Angels. Oh yeah, from Light for the 22 TRY. Thank you. Where is Apollos? Lexicanum, don't do him justice.
I've still not read his book, but I've heard it sucks, which is a bit of a shame.
I've read that Flesh Terror book, and it's the worst book I've ever
read. Yeah, that one. Yeah, where he's on the cover. He's like, bleh.
Worse than
this. Oh, have I? And I just... No, I did read it, and my brain has scrubbed it from my memory. Oh, no.
The most nothing burger I've ever had. Brian Isaacs for $5. What is your take on the wing space marine size man in the Beckwin books, Sanguinius Return? This is the...
Not read it yet.
This is the faux angel thing with to do with Constantine and Valdor. It'd be interesting to see. I think it's one of those things. I think, again, that's its own, like, I can't discuss that in like 5 minutes. It's a huge topic. And Dan Abnett's cooking with something where he's the dude named Dr. Constantine Valdor. So he obviously wants to bring back something huge. So we'll have to see where that goes. Oh, Crimson Glory, brother in Christ.
Hello, Crimson.
Death Company is the Teemu version of World Eaters.
Damn. Oh, man.
Coming from a man with a World Eater.
That's the context of him fighting that.
Of Daenor. Insult to injury.
I mean,
those traitors hate the supplement book in 7th edition.
Colin, do the next one.
Yeah, I got the next one. H. Milov with the 2 BGN. Colin Macho Mojito for the next channel milestone. Go away. Thank you.
That's not Apollos. Oops. Sorry, Light. That's not Apollos. The chaplain on the cover is Dumas. Literally, his name is Duma. Yeah.
God, that book sucks. Water Wizards, Abnett going esoteric again. I hope, is it Pandemonium that drops? Because I'm desperate.
Dota 2 for that. Stream? My Petunia Knight? Dota 2 stream? Or Bretonian Lore? We did do a Bretonian Lore video.
I don't think we did a proper. We'll have to do Bretonia.
Not a stream. Well,
that'll be the next video that Colin does for fantasy. Yeah. We swear.
Man, that's the three-way back-to-backs. Horus Heresy, Space Marine, and Call of Colonia. Holy
shit. We should just rename Law Crimes Punish Colin, and that's what the channel's called now.
I think to finish up, though, Eli has something he might want to share.
Yeah, I do. I have something I want to read, but should we also read the Thankwall left us with many messages because he had to go to work.
That's right at the beginning. I'll have a go through this.
Donated $5 for us to read some of his messages. I saw some pretty maniacal ones up there.
It's too far back. I can't see it.
It's right at the beginning.
I can see it on here. Okay, so his first message is not going to be able to make it to the stream today. My precious Pookies, kissy face. I've got my second shift ever to go to, so I'll be back next stream or the one after that when I work on my hours. Enjoy your moment of rest, Lord Criminals. I'll be back. Hal has SEX with vanilla Oreos while moaning all I want for Christmas. Okay. Colin probably had his lunch money stolen by his students. Colin buys used inmate underwear from prisons. And he calls... Okay, I'm not going to read that one. Hal puts sticks of butter in the freezer so he can eat it later like ice cream. Eli hears the Hungry Shark theme. When he sees woman at night, Eli looks batteries instead of pre-workout. Hal has to take a shot every time he says the weather is shit or smells of weed. Colin is what appears when you say Beetlejuice 4 times. Hal opens bean cans upside down and cooks them straight on the stove. Colin looks like he dips his finger into his car oil to taste it. Colin got that Osama build.
What does that even mean?
Andy looks like he went to the hospital after trying to have SEX with the top of a beer bottle. Nah, he's too short. That's all of them. That is maniacal, man. I gotta try and hope that the algorithm doesn't understand what you're trying to say and just kill us. But all right, I also have a DJ graph about Colin that I'll read for you all. So it's like a Dracula Flow V2, I guess.
But, make sure some of the words are not.
Can
we sleep out some of the bad ones?
Right, so here we go. I'm calling. Yeah, I'm bald and free. Pancreas broke, but it don't bother me. Late nights in the goon cave glow, where I edge and let my fantasies flow. Down in the goon cave, I'm living my dream. Sitting on my cuck chair, I'm the king of my scene. Tip my fedora, thank you for the gold. I'm Slaanesh's strongest. Let the stories unfold. Memories of Morathi, that dark elf queen. Pegging my heart, if you know what I mean. With the flick of her tail, she takes me higher. Hitting that rotted gussy, I'm lost in desire. Down in the goon cave, I'm living my dream. Sitting on my cuck chair, I'm the king of my scene. Tip my fedora, thank you for the gold. I'm Slaanesh's strongest, let the stories unfold. Dragon Ball battles and Halo Knights. Playing pig and dead by daylight, chasing those sights. With every rush of the chase, I feel alive. Edge of my seat, yeah, I'm ready to thrive. Once felt lost in the shadowed crowd, now I'm content, feeling strong and proud. Embracing the quirks, the laughter and pain, in my goon cave kingdom, I'll always remain. Down, of course,
keep going.
So here's the laughter, the cheers. In this life of gooning, I'll conquer my fears. Bald and proud, in my whimsical space, I'm calling a goon and I'm owning my place. Wow.
You know what? That was really good. But I got to be honest, when I asked you guys almost 2 years ago, second anniversary on Sunday, when I asked you guys about 2 years ago, do you want to do like a collaboration channel? Didn't think we'd get here, but
no, I didn't.
Seriously,
but it's good. It's good.
If we're very quick, I have time for another one that has to be bleeped out at certain points. DJ Beast.
There's some bangers. We listened to some on stream earlier.
I made an AI song to finish off for the people here. How dreams in the night of God so obscene, whispering wishes under blanketed beams, hoping to find that as a fussy cream, diving deep in an eldritch-themed dream. Tentacles twitch and the shadowy gleam. Hal stumbles forward, feeling supreme. With Cthulhu's echo in his bloodstream, he's on a quest for that cosmic cream.
Cream it sounds like the
filling his veins. Hal's heart races, breaking all chains. Lovecraftian love no one else can redeem. In the void he finds his perverse dream. Shub, I can't say that word. Shub, dances in the haunted hours. Eyes of madness cold and unseen. With every touch, Hal senses the cream. Lost in the throne of astral regime. Oh my god,
beautiful.
The cream. As a thussy cries in the silence so clean, among the stars where the minds are stream, boundaries break with an otherworldly scream, Hal's lips coated in that infernal cream. Nyarlathotep's whispers from the dark stream, Hal surrenders to the chaotic dream, seeking realms where only nightmarish beams illuminate paths to the forbidden cream. Thank you, everyone who is listening to the episode.
Nice. Crimes and poetry. Night Before Christmas.
Thank you, DJ Beast.
One last mention from Neon LF Graves saying, Colin, how long did you sit on Great Ape Vegeta?
It took me about 30 minutes, which is about 45 tries, because at a certain point I would just get command grabbed and reset. I would just immediately retry the battle.
Give us a like for the.
I beat that fucking monkey, though. Holy shit. Frieza was right.
Oh my god. Thank you so much for the love there, DJ Beast. We appreciate that. Yeah. And for everyone who made it this far and listened, hope you enjoyed some Death Company and some diabolical rhymes at the end. he made this far. Like, subscribe. And again, where's Andy on my screen? Merch. We have merch. Hopefully we'll have the merch.
Merchandise. And
if you want that,
should I also,
link on
should also mention that we're planning to do a stream for our birthday on Sunday. We can make
it fun. We had a birthday stream. Lord Crimes is turning 2. We officially can do nothing, legally. But thank you, everyone, for watching, for listening, and we'll see you all very soon. Peace. Oh, we're also on Amazon, Spotify, all that good stuff. Cheers.
Bye. Love you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.